So we're up to the Gemara in Daf Yud Gimel Omud Beis. If you remember, we're talking about Smicha of Zakenim. Smicha means not the halacha of the previous sugya, which is where they par helam davashal tzibu, but rather Smicha when ordaining a Talmud to be called Rebbe and to be allowed to judge the halachas of Knossos. If you remember, that was the last thing we saw on Thursday, I believe it was, in order to judge the halacha of Knossos. And the bottom line was, you need three on the Beis Din to carry out this smicha. You have to have three on the Beis Din, although the Gemara did say that it's not clear what the makor of the halacha of three is. Why would you have to have three? L'chaira, the Torah source for smicha is Moshe Rabbeinu, who gave smicha to his Talmud Yeshua, and there were no three people there. There was just Moshe Rabbeinu. So, if anything, it would seem to be that one person is enough. And the Gemara concluded, Kasha, the Gemara said, you're right, it's a difficult statement, but we're not backing down from it because it's a Mishnah. Although, albeit, we don't really know, in all honesty, what the Makor is, why you would need three, but that is the bottom line. So have a look at the Gemara on Daf Yud Gimel on the base, four lines from the bottom. Says the Gemara, V'chad lo'i somich. Are you really telling me that one person cannot give smicha? You always have to have three on the Beis Din. This smicha ceremony, as it were, or process, has to have three dayonim there. Is that really true? But we have a story that seems to indicate otherwise, and it's quite a frightening story. If you had time to prepare Gemara, then you will have seen this already. The Ha'omer of Yudah Marav Baram. Rav Yehuda, in the name of Rav, says, Zochur oisai ha'ish l'toiv. This person should be remembered well. Which person? V'Rabbi Yehuda ben Bova Shmoy. His name is Rabbi Yehuda ben Bova, and his name should be remembered well. It's a bit like saying, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. Zichroinai Levracha. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Bova should be remembered well. Why? What did he
do? Is he one of the Asara Harugi Malchus?
Right. So we're going to see he had a very gruesome death over here. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava Shmoy. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava is his name, and he should be remembered positively. He should be remembered positively for something that he did, and he was clearly a big tzaddik, as is demonstrated by the following story. We're not so interested in the story. We're more interested in the halachic connotation, which is it true that you have to have three dayonim to relay smicha? So here comes the story. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, Shmoy was his name. She'il molehu, if not for him, nishtakhu dine knosos miYisrael. If not for Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, the halachas of knosos, of knas, would have been forgotten from Klal Yisrael. Now, what does that mean? Why would it be forgotten? Says the Gemara, Nishtakhu? Question mark. Nigrasinu. So why can't we relearn them? What does that mean? The halachas would have been forgotten. So then you revise them and then you remember them again. So what does it mean it would have been forgotten? Says the Gemara, Elo. Rather, what it means is, going over to the top of the Omud, Bokloi dine knosos miYisrael, on the top line. Not that they would have been forgotten, but they would have been abolished. Now, let's just fill in one line of background. You'll remember that we said last time that essentially you need smicha in order to carry out the halachas of knas. So in all the various examples that we have of knas, when somebody steals, he's got to pay double. If he shechts the animal, he's got to pay four or five times, etc., etc. That's called the knas. The definition of knas is always, without exception, when you are ending up paying more than the damage you caused. So if I steal an animal, the damage I caused is one animal. Why am I paying double? And the answer is it's a penalty. It's a knas. In order to judge the halachas of knasas, if somebody comes to a Beis Din and we have to now decide whether he's chayav or knas, we have to have a Beis Din of mumchin, which means they have to have smicha. So the Gemara says, if not for Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, the halachas of knosos would have been abolished. Now, how do you abolish the halachas of knosos? And the answer is, if there's no smicha. If there's no smicha in Klal Yisrael, well, then nobody is qualified to paskan halacha of knas. Because as we just mentioned, in order to paskan a shayla of knas, you have to have dayonim without smicha. So the Gemara is telling us, the details are coming up, but this is the headline of the story, that if not for Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, the halachas of knosos would have been botel, which is another way of saying that he ensured that smicha would carry on. If not for him, smicha would not have carried on, and there would never again in Klal Yisrael be the halachas of knas. So in what way was he responsible? How did he ensure the continuation of knosos, meaning of smicha, as the Gemara explains, top line. Before we see that, just have a look at the top Rashi. Botloi dine knosos. The halachas of knas would have been bottle. How would they have been bottle, says Rashi, very simply, as we just explained. The kibun, the leka, smicha. Because if there would be no smicha, well then botle. Not that the halachas of knas wouldn't apply. Obviously, they always apply. But they wouldn't have been able to have been enforced because there would be no dayonim who are qualified to paskan halachas of knas, because as we've mentioned, you have to have smicha. So it's all in the zechus of Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, and that's why he gets mentioned positively, that the smicha continued, which means the halachas of knas also continued. Now, what did he do? What was the story? So look at this quite frightening story. Says the Gemara, top line. Shepam achas, on one occasion, gozra malchus harosha. The wicked empire decreed Gezeira al Yisrael. They made a decree on Klal Yisrael, Shekol HaSoymech, anybody who ordains Talmidim, Yehoreg will be killed. So it was considered so severe, it's an astonishing thing. It was considered so severe to ordain a Talmid to give him smicha that it was punishable by death. The Chol HaNismach, and the one who gets ordained, also Yehoreg, will also be killed. So both the Rebbe who is ordaining and also the Talmid who is being ordained are both punishable by death, and that's not the end of it. The Ir Shesoimchin Bo, and if there is a city in which smicha is being practiced, unbelievable, Techorev, the whole city will be destroyed. The whole city. Not just the Rebbe who is ordaining, not just the Talmid who is being ordained, the whole city will be wiped out if it's discovered that smicha is carrying on there. The tchumin, sheh soimchin, bohen yeokru. And even if there's a tchum, what does that mean, a tchum? I mean, even if it doesn't actually happen within the city, but the city has a tchum, which, as we know, extends beyond the borders of the city. If it happens then, yeokru, those will also be wiped out. So for whatever reason, the government there saw the issue of smicha as extremely, extremely severe, to the extent that they said it's punishable by death, to the Rebbe who's ordained it, to the Talmud who's being ordained, to the city in which this has happened. This is very, very serious. Ma osa Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. So what did Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava do? Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava was determined to continue with smicha, but very dangerous activity. Is holach v'yoshav loy. So he went and he sat himself down bein shnei horim gedolim, between two mountains, meaning outside of the city. He did not want to do this within the city, obviously, because that would jeopardize the security of the entire city. Ubein shtei ayorois gedolois. It was in between two cities, so he actually was not within any particular city. Ubein shnei tchumei shabbos. Neither was he within the tchum. To the contrary, he was between the two tchumin, even this extension of the city. Bein Usha le Shafraam. There were two places between called Usha and Shafraam, and he was there in between. The Somach Shom Chamisha Zakenim. And over there he ordained five Talmidim. So he was taking an enormous risk. He did not jeopardize the security of any particular city because he didn't do it within the city, neither within the Tchum. So who is he now? Who's still in danger? Obviously himself and his five Talmidim. Who were his five Talmidim? The Elohim, here they are. These are his Talmidim, the five that he ordained, Reb Meir, Reb Yehuda, Reb Shimon, Reb Eliyosi, and Reb Elazar ben Shamua. Reb Avia Moisev, Afram Nechemia. Reb Avia maintained that actually there was a sixth Talmud there as well. It was Reb Nechemia. So we're talking about five or perhaps six of the greatest Tanoim that we know who received smicha from the great Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava at enormous personal cost and danger. Once the enemy then recognized, they got wind of what had happened. So once the authorities now discover what's happened, everybody is now mamish in a situation of pikuach nefesh. Because they said, anybody who carries out smicha or receives smicha is chayav misa. So, kiven shehikiru oyveihem bohem omar lohen. So he said to them, bonai, my sons, rutsu, you should run. You better escape. If you remain here and you get caught, you're going to end up being killed. Amrulai, so they then turned round to him and said, well, that's fine for us, but what are you going to do? Rebbe, matei olecho. What about you? What are you going to do? You're telling us to run away. It sounds like that you, however, are going to stay here. Well, what's going to happen to you, chas v'shalom? Omar lohen, so he said to them, hareini mutal lifneihem. Here I am, placed in front of you, ke'even, like a rock. She'ein lo hoifchim, that nobody can turn it over. Meaning, I'm going to be like a heavy rock that's too big to be turned over, which is another way of saying, metaphorically, I'm staying right here. Parshim explained that he was elderly, he was unable to escape, otherwise he wouldn't have been allowed to stay there as pikuach nefesh. But they clearly were younger than him, he was the Rebbe, they were the Talmidim, so he instructed them, you escape, and I'm staying here, however. Now, he knew full well that if he stays there, he's going to get caught. And if he gets caught by the authorities, it's definite death, which indeed is what happened. And this is very gruesome reading. Amru, so they said about him, Loizazu Misham. Eventually, he was caught and killed. And they did not leave him. Ad Shenoatsu Boy. Until they stabbed him with shloish meyos lunbiyos shel barzel. They stabbed him with 300 spears of metal. Ve'osuhu kekivron. They made his body like a sieve. There were so many holes in his body, it looked like a sieve. Look at Rashi. Top line. Bein shtei ayoros. Gedolos, where did he sit himself between two cities? Why? V'loi b'toi cho'ir. He did not want to situate himself in the city. She'im yivoda, because if his presence would become known, he didn't want shelo yachrivu esayid. They shouldn't ruin the city. Remember, the gzeir was that if there's a city found with smicha, then the whole city will be ruined. So he didn't want to take that risk, so he placed himself in between two cities. Lunbiyos. Chanisos is a spear. Now, that's the end of the story. So the story itself is, of course, both fascinating and very tragic. But why are we mentioning the story at all? Because what does this story clearly demonstrate? How many people were giving the smicha? One. That was the whole introduction to the story. The whole introduction to the story was that if not for Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, then Knossos would not exist in Klal Yisrael. He was the one, it sounds like, who took sole responsibility for perpetuating smicha, and with it the halachas of Knossos, to which the Gemara said, if not for him, the halachas of Knossos would no longer be in existence in Klal Yisrael. Why? What did he do? He, at great personal risk, gave smicha to his Talmidim. Well, if he gave smicha to his Talmidim, doesn't say anything about that he was had other Dayanim with him. So it sounds very clearly from the story that one Dayan is allowed to give smicha. Didn't we say before that only three Dayanim can give smicha? That's the question. Now, just before we see the answer of the Gemara, I must be honest with you. I have a question on this story, a very obvious question, which I don't have an answer to. My very simple question on this story was, how in the world was Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava allowed to do this? Put his life in danger. He knew full well that was the Gezeira. Whoever gives smicha is going to be punishable by death. That's exactly what happened. So what was his hatter to do? So you're not allowed to put your life in that situation of pekuach nefesh. As important as smicha is, but you're not allowed to put yourself in death, in danger. So what was his hatter to do so? So in the case of the Talmidim, that's not so problematic because clearly they were able to escape. They were young, they were energetic, they were able to run away. But he was unable to escape, and he must have known that from the outset. Because when they said to him, you should escape, he says, no way, I'm like an unturned stone, I can't move. So what was his hetzer to do so? Yes, it's very important to give smicha. Yes, it's very important to perpetuate the halachas of knossos, etc., etc., etc. But we have halacha, pekuach nefesh. In fact, we learned it from yesterday's parasha. If you were paying attention to the laning, which pasuk do we learn this from? In the laning, it said, v'chai bohem. V'chai bohem simply means you've got to live by the Torah, not die by the Torah. So what was his heter to put his life in danger? If anybody has a teretz to that, I'll be very, very happy to hear a suggestion for a teretz.
I seem to recall that except for the three gimel, the gimel cardinal of eros, that we have to be prepared to give up our lives for. But anything else, we have to, v'chai bohem, we have to live. Except yeah. The exception is that if there's a gezerah that would be go against all the Klal Yisrael, that a person has to be moser nefesh. Isn't that true?
Correct. There is a gezerah called shmad. A gezerah of shmad means if a goy in particular comes up to a Jew and puts a gun to his head and says, right, you've got to be mechal Shabbos, or else I'm going to pull the trigger. Well, then you're right. He does not have to be killed. He can mechal Shabbos. But where there's a gezeira against all of Klal Yisrael, and they're trying to mechal Shem Shemaim, then the halacha is a difference. You're suggesting that's what's going on over here as well. Here, this is not some personal activity against Rav Yehuda ben Bava. It was a gezeira against all of Klal Yisrael. And under circumstances like that, then the rules are different. Okay, that could be.
I was just thinking, it's Vadai. It's not Vada that he was going to get caught. So he could take a chance where it is Vadai that if he doesn't do the smicha, that this chain of Torah would get stopped.
Yeah. So I was thinking that. I'm not sure if that's going to help us because even if it be a Sufik, you also can't put your life in a Sufik danger either. I've got a sefer in front of me now. I'm just looking at it as we speak. Where is it now? Yes, here it is. He's got a whole sefer on Pikuach Nefesh. And I'm just curious, I'm going to look now in the index, whether he brings our Gemara. Let's have a look. Right, Sanhedrin. Yes, what do you say? Ches hey. Okay, so he has a whole siman over here in this sefer that I'm looking at now. About those who put their lives in danger at times of a gezeira in Klal Yisrael. I'm just seeing if he says Reb Nachum's vote. Yeah, okay. I can't see it. Believe me, after the show, I'm going to look there. But he definitely does speak about these types of subjects. Be'ikaron. Yeah, okay, we'll have to look at this. Fine. Okay, so Reb Nachum, I hear what you're saying. You're suggesting that he is different because there was a gezeira, or Reb Eliyahu David, excuse me, is saying that he was different because there was a gezeira against Klal Yisrael. Reb Nachum wants to say maybe he is different because not a vadai, it's only a sofek, which I'm not convinced about. Because even if you're right, but it's also to put your life in sofek danger either. In fact, he has a tragic question over here, which obviously is very much related. And he says, what about at the time of the Twin Towers? At the Twin Towers, as we know, there were tragic scenes of people actually jumping out the window. Jumping out the window is being ma'abed atzmoy ledas, is suicide. What's the heter? Now, it's true, it's safe to say that in those situations, they definitely knew that they're going to die either way. But even that's not a satisfactory answer, because even if somebody knows he's going to die, we still can't commit suicide. Al Kaponim is a very, very difficult and also very, very tragic question, but Blineda, I'll check it up afterwards. Okay, so either way, let's get back to our sugya. So we have a big question on our hands. On the one hand, the Gemara said that you've got to have three for smicha. You cannot have a single person doing smicha. And yet in this story, it seems to be the opposite. This story seems clearly to suggest that Rabbi Yudim ben Bava did smicha all by himself, at great personal risk, and eventually he died as a result. But it was only one person. Says the Gemara, no, it was three. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, Acharini, there were others, Havu Bahadei. There were definitely others with him as well. He was not by himself, there were in fact three altogether. So why are the other two not mentioned then? Vahai Deloi Choshiv Lehu. And the reason why the other two are not mentioned is Mishum Kvoidai de Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. Out of honor, out of covet, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, clearly he must have been the most prominent of the three. And therefore the other two happened not to be mentioned, but it does not mean they weren't there. Okay, so therefore the question is a mistake. We thought that Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava was giving smicha by himself. It turns out he wasn't. He was in the presence of three, albeit that the other two are not mentioned for, as we said, reasons of covered from Yehuda ben Bava. Okay, so therefore there is no question anymore. Says the Gemara, just as an aside, the Rebbe Meir, he was one of the Talmidim mentioned before as having received smicha from Rebbe Yehuda ben Bava. Was that really the one he received smicha from? The Rebbe Meir, Rebbe Yehuda ben Bava, Samchei. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava was the one who gave smicha to him. Surely we said something else. We have a statement, V'ha'omar Rabbi Rav Chana Omer Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan once said the following statement, Kol ho'omer Reb Meir lo'isomchu Reb Akiva eino yalotoya. If anybody suggests that it was not Reb Akiva who gave smicha to Reb Meir, then he's making a terrible mistake, because it was, in fact, Reb Akiva. So what's Rabbi Yechanan teaching us? That Reb Akiva was the one who gave smicha to Reb Meir, and anybody who suggests otherwise is very severely mistaken. So what's going on? It's unclear. Who actually gave smicha to Reb Meir? Was it in fact Reb Akiva, or was it, like our story suggested, Reb Yehuda ben Bava?
Wasn't Rabbi Meir a Talmid of Acher?
Also, yeah, but not like Abba Smicha. Whom he got Smicha from, that seems to be a choice either of Rabbi Akiva or of Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. Says the Gemara, Samchei Rabbi Akiva, both are true. Initially, he got Smicha from Rabbi Akiva. For some reason, Veloi Kiblu, I do not know why. They did not accept it. In fact, sorry, I do know why, Rashi tells us. Look at Rashi. Third line. V'loi kiblu lefi sha'adayin hoya bochor. He was a bochor, he was very young at the time. I saw yesterday that others disagree with Rashi, and they suggest alternative explanations, but either way, Rashi says the reason why his smicha was not accepted was because he was a bochor, he was too young. That's why, says the Gemara, you have to do it again.
Why did Rabbi Akiva give him smicha if he was too young?
Good question. I don't know. Says the Gemara, therefore, really, somchei Rabbi Akiva. But v'loi kiblu. They didn't accept it for reasons we just explained. And therefore, somchei Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. So eventually, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, now, second time round, he was the one who gave him smicha, the kiblu, and that was accepted. So who was it who gave him smicha? Was it Rabbi Akiva or was it Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava? The answer was, it was both. Problem was, is that first time round, it was not accepted. Says the Gemara, Omer Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Ein smicha b'chutz la'aretz. There is no smicha in chutz la'aretz, only in Eretz Yisrael. Now, what does that mean, there's no smicha in chutz la'aretz? Says the Gemara, what does that mean? My ein smicha. What does that mean when you tell me that there's no smicha? Remember, we always have to remember in the back of our minds that what is the practical ramification of smicha? One word answer, knas. Knosos is basically the only halacha where smicha is mandatory. No smicha, no knosos. So what does it mean now that there's no smicha in chutz la'aretz? What does that mean? If you're going to suggest that it means Deloi daini, that they do not judge, dine knosos klal b'chutz la'aretz. Is that what you mean? That there's no smicha, meaning there is no judgment of knasos in chutz la'aretz at all? Is that what you mean? That can't be. Because hotanan, because we have a Mishnah, Mufurisha Mishnah in Makkos, which says, Sanhedrin, noyheges bein ba'aretz, clearly, there does exist the notion of a Sanhedrin in Chutz La'aretz as well, and we are assuming that that means including the halachas of Knas. Look at Rashi, third wide line at the top. And this is therefore what you mean. The Ein Smicha Mo'eles B'Chutz La'aretz. Maybe that's therefore what you meant, that smicha does not help. B'chutz la'aretz v'afilu samchuhu ba'aretz. Even if he got smicha in Eretz Yisrael, are you trying to suggest that that smicha that he received in Eretz Yisrael has no effect? It's not recognized, as it were, or not valid in chutz la'aretz. That's what it means. Is that what you're trying to suggest? That can't be. Because we have a Mefurish Mishnah that says that there definitely existed a Sanhedrin, not only in Eretz Yisrael, but also in Chutz Laretz. So clearly, Smicha does have validity in Chutz Laretz. So what did you mean when you said that there's no Smicha in Chutz Laretz? Well, what does that mean? Says the Gemara, Elo, what it means is, Deloy Samchinam b'Chutz Laretz. Of course, Smicha definitely has effect and is valid in Chutz Laretz, but it's got to be performed in Eretz Yisrael. You cannot perform Smicha in Chutz Laretz. So it's true we have a Mishnah that says there was a Bezdin in Chutz Laretz. That's perfectly true. So clearly that's talking about Dayanim who were ordained in Eretz Yisrael. So now we know what that original statement meant. When it said that there's no smicha in Chutz Laretz, we do not mean that smicha doesn't have validity. That's not true. Because if smicha took place in Eretz Yisrael, then it does have validity in Chutz Laretz. What we mean is it cannot take place in Chutz Laretz. Okay, we'll hold it over here. Bez Hashem, the Gemara very much continues on with this theme. And all being well, Bez Hashem, we'll see this tomorrow morning.